Well, we are in 1 Timothy, chapter 4, and we're going to verses 12 and 13, lesson 22. Is that right? 22? That's got my 23 on the top.
I know. Change
so,
it.
I know. It changes it every time. So we have 22, and so 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Let me get to those here. Well, I have them kind of split up, actually. So, in verse 12, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself as an example of those who believe. So that's verse 12, and then you find 13, where 13 is. I have it down here somewhere, or somebody want to read that?
Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine.
Thank you. It's down in my, I didn't put it, usually I put them up top on the, and I did not do that on this one. So, we were in question three, what is Paul's recommendation for a solution to this problem about him looking down on his youthfulness? In verse 12, let no one look down on youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. And it was also in that was the King James or the New American Standard for New King James said, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So a little bit of change in the words. Yeah.
What was the answer to number one?
Listen to the tapes.
23.
What if
actually,
I don't want to?
Actually, how old do you think Timothy is?
Yeah, I'm just curious.
There are some that say he was, what, 30 years old, 30-ish old. So, again, nobody has an exact age for him. But that was about what the age was. So we went into about how, what, you know, it's all relative.
Yeah.
You know, what is 30? You know, if you're a running back in the NFL, you're old. Yeah. You know, if you're a judge, you're probably young. You know, so it's all relative. So for him, it was just a time that they were looking down on him. For some reason, they thought he was young. With all the people at Ephesus where he was ministering.
That's probably with Brian being an elder now. I know. Probably
pretty young. Yeah. What was that? Lay hands on no one or two? Sorry. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was wondering what you guys came up with because, you know, I couldn't find it.
Yeah, there really wasn't. It was just some speculation that it was like 30s, in his 30s somewhere. Yeah.
Well, Titus as well. I mean, I think some commentaries have him around 30. Some have him about 55.
Yeah, so probably makes more sense in the 30s, especially in this where they're saying youth, you know, they're giving him grief about being a young guy. So if you're 50, you're getting up more, especially in that age, you know, that time period. So makes more sense is probably in the 30s, but again, there's no succinct value for that. So, so the problem was about looking down. So what was his? We started in.
He won.
Probably not.
Well, we can hear you, but we don't know if we're going to hear you through that mic or that one.
Right, okay.
Turn to your left.
Yeah, you're getting there. Okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm loud enough to pick up on the mics out here. So that's why I usually don't worry about the mic. So we started to say, what would we have recommended Timothy to do in response to this? You know, my worldly fleshly was go pound sand, you know. So, but that was not Paul's advice. Obviously, he did not say, you know, get in their face and give them grief.
You're still not coming through very loud.
Am I?
No, you're okay.
Okay. All right. Again, we basically see the word to be in here is the New King James. The word be in the New King James is not the ordinary verb of being in the Greek, but ginomai, to become. So you're to become an example. You're not supposed to just get in his face and light him up, you know, and tell him, you old codgers, you old guys, you know, leave me alone. He's to be an example. And so something to be imitated or followed. That's what Paul is giving. Be an example to these people. Don't just get in their face and give them grief that, you know, don't tell me I'm a young buck. He gives them an example. So Timothy is to take a positive approach, marked off in this verse by the strong adversative, but he is to launch a 5-point offensive to earn respect. And this is done by being a model believer. So, isn't this what we give as an admonition to our kids? What do you do when, you know, kids are in the, you know, getting into something and Billy called me this or whatever? Do you go tell them to go pound them? Do you tell them to go get in their face and rile them up? What do you tell them?
First, you take them to the woods.
Oh, okay. That is not Paul's advice here. So you basically say, be an example. Don't be like them. Don't be like them. You know, they're being rude. They're being terrible. Don't be like them. That's kind of what Paul is saying here. He's saying, don't be like them. Don't, you know, tell them, you know, my response would be, well, you're an old codger, you know. Yeah, they, you know, he'd be getting back in their face. He'd tell them, no, be an example. Be nice. Be loving, which we'll see the 5 points that he tells them to. But he says, be an example. Don't just, you know, be like them. And that, like I said, I think being a parent, that's what we tell our kids, at least ours, you know, if they're being, don't be like them. Don't be like them. So, and is this in keeping with other scripture? Can you think of a verse that kind of says that? Anybody? All right. So what I came up with was in Romans 12, and it's a section 17 to 21. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. And this is in verse 18. If possible, so as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So he's telling me, you know, here, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him drink, for in doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Similar type thing. He's saying, don't give him his faith. Don't repay him for being, you know, jerks and telling him that you're young. You know, don't do that. Don't repay evil for evil. As I always say, I have an issue with this. I was thinking when we went through these verses, I always have trouble because I always think, you know, when your enemy is being terrible to you, you be nice to him, and it's like pouring hot coals on their head. I have a very bad attitude about that. I'm thinking, I'm going to do something good just so I can put coals on that head. So I have a little attitude issue with that one. So
speak the truth in love.
I have a hard time with that one. I just say, be real nice. It's just like pouring coals on their head. So
you see another one in Titus 2.
Yeah.
Because in all things, show yourself an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach.
Yep.
So that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about
it. Yep. Perfect. Also Matthew 5:39, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. So it's again, don't, because they've been telling you youth and your terror, you know, we're not listening to you, don't get in their face. But then he gives a 5-point response on how to do that. So in question 5, list the 5 points of Paul's the points that Paul's recommended to go on the offense and explain. So in 1 Timothy 4:12, again in the New American Standard, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Or in the New King James, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, conduct, in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and purity. So, what was the first way Timothy was supposed to be an example? What's it say? First thing.
In word.
In word or speech. So, he is to be such in word or speech. That is, in what he says, including teaching and verbal instruction. Timothy is to control his speech in terms of what he says and what he refrains from saying. That's also, I think, a key. Many times we think of just what you say. The other is what you don't say is almost as important as what you say.
Yeah.
So that's the key. He's supposed to, in word, control his words, control his speech. Again, to be an example, which as we said, don't repay evil for evil. Don't challenge them. Don't go back at them in a way that is not in a loving fashion. But in your words, kindly tell them, this is what Paul told me. This is what I was instructed. This is what the word says or what the scripture says. So this is what, you know, you're supposed to be in kindness in word. That's what he's telling. Be an example. So that was the first one. So in word, kind words. Don't get angry at him. Don't say, and I think the latter part is what you refrain from saying, i.e. what I said, go pound sand. Don't tell him to go pound sand. Yeah.
The other approach a lot of times is theological debate. You know, where you have differences of opinion and you really think this is moot court. You know.
You know, and there's two scriptures I go and I always forget them, and they're highlighted in my actual Bible.
Yeah.
And there are two of them that say, you know, basically don't, a contentious man,
yeah,
don't engage, don't, it's only, yeah, gonna, you know, create, yeah, division, do all this stuff. There's like two scriptures that I have that I go to that, you know, when people want to be just doctrinally challenging everything.
Sure.
And there's the two scriptures I got.
There's one in Titus 3.
Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't, there are two of them and yeah, it's just like, don't, you know, it's useless to get into endless arguments with these people because that's all they want to do, and it's not that they want to seek truth, they're just being argumentative.
Yeah,
and stay away from them.
We may or may not be talking about that next hour.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I think there's one in Galatians about that if they don't get it, that the Lord will show them.
Yeah, this is more like just avoid the contention. Yeah. All they want is to do is argue.
Yeah,
it's not purposeful.
Right.
It's not that they want to learn. It's just they're argumentative.
They want to argue. Sure.
And that it's useless banter.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah,
man, maybe it's Titus. I really should get those down because I think about that when, you know, a lot of times we get into some real doctor. You know, some people get into just doctrinal arguments.
Yeah.
Not that they really want to seek an answer. They just want to get into, you
or
know,
they want to prove their point.
Prove themselves or, yeah, puff themselves up or show, yeah, that they're, you know, and they really don't want. They just want to get into this, you know, big argument to show how wise they are.
Sure.
And then, like I said, there's maybe it's Titus and one other one.
Well, I wouldn't use the word wise. I would use the word studied.
Yeah. Yeah.
How studied they are.
Yes. Okay, so what is the second word of advice that Paul gives to Timothy? What's the second one?
Conduct.
Conduct. Mm-hmm. Conduct. So so he's telling them, measure your words. Don't get in their face. Don't get argumentative. Don't do these things. Refrain from saying things. And now he says in conduct. So it's a similar type thing in that, you know, your conduct can be, you know, if I, in a word, I can get into an argument with you.
Yeah.
And so the words, but now conduct. So the word conduct is kind of an old English a word for behavior, manner of life. Timothy is not only to be in control of what he says, so the words, but also in control of what he does. The word conduct refers to one's total lifestyle. Zodiacus has the word anastrophe as your mode of life, conduct, behavior, deportment. So he's saying in your, you know, mode of life, conduct, behavior, deportment, don't go after these guys. Don't go after them with words, and don't go after them in anger or, you know, behind their back, any of these things. He's telling them just mellow out. be an example. Don't repay evil for evil. So in my conduct, I'm not going to go back after them. I'm not going to go and talk to three other people and say how terrible these people are. I'm not going to do all that. My conduct is going to be respectful. It's going to be under control. And so that's what he's saying here. My words, I'm going to refrain from the words that I shouldn't say. I'm going to be truthful in what I say, refrain from these, but I'm going to do it in a loving fashion. I'm going to conduct myself one that they can't point at me and say, you know, your conduct is terrible. So that's what Paul's telling them now.
I also think included in this conduct word is the spiritual growth of the believer, the conformity to Christ, rather than imitation, that the life of Christ is you live like what you are.
Right.
And you're dependent. And you expect the Spirit of God to implement the life of Christ in you. And that speaks a lot louder than what right. you say.
Well, that's like, you know, one of my songs that I listen to. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day.
Sure, that's exactly what he means.
And that's really what, you know, he's saying here, is I want to see it in your behavior. You know, in your words, you know, here, your words, but then also in your behavior. I want to see that. I want to see that you conduct yourself in a way that is respectful, that they're not going to be able to point to something that you were angry, you acted in a horrible manner. It's giving them fodder for them to challenge you. That's what Paul's saying.
So, and in the culture, I imagine there was a lot of inconsistent living.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And well, I think this is kind of an instruction within the church. So, you know, this is how you conduct yourself in Ephesus, in the church, in the ministry, in the ministration of the church at Ephesus. He's telling them, you know, be above reproach. Don't let people have the ability to challenge you with what you did. And it is like it's the life of Christ. Live the life of Christ out in your life. So it's really telling me, you know, you measure your words now in conduct. Don't be, you know, worldly, fleshly in your responses.
AA's got the best acronym for that. Can you walk the talk?
Yeah, walk the talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and like I said, that song, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. I really think that really hit me very hard. And, you know, it's like, that's true. You can talk all day long, but if your life doesn't, show it, what is that going to, what's your witness to the world or to other believers?
Yeah.
You know, I can talk it all. I can talk a big story, but if my life doesn't reflect that, it's worthless. So what is the third word of advice that he gives to him? So we have in word or speech, in conduct. And now what's the next one?
In love.
Goes with the second, you know, in the conduct and measured in your words. It's in love. So love is agape, the love of which God is and which the Holy Spirit produces in the heart of the yielded saint. A love whose consistent elements Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter on love, basically. A love which impels one loving to... which impels the one loving to sacrifice himself for the benefit of the person loved. God's love must be seen in superabundance in the life of Timothy. So again, this is, you want to see it. It goes with the conduct. You know, you can also, in conduct, I'm not going to be all grumpy and I'm not going to say anything. That, you know, what... You know, he's mad and he's, you know, so this is in love. Your conduct's got to be in love. That melds very much with the conduct part, that you do it in love. You actually love them. You want to help them. You're leading them. You're guiding them. Don't give them a instance where they can say, you know, you're not leading the life of Christ. You're not loving me. And here it's really saying, this is the guys who've now put him down. Remember, this is all started because he said, you know, they're looking down on his youthfulness. So he could be very vindictive and, you know, on my conduct, I'm just going to sit there in the corner. I'm not going to be mad, but, well, no, you do it in love. You do it because you want to show them the example of love. You want to show the life of Christ in you. And so that's why you end up, you know, as Paul's telling me, do it in love. Don't do it just because I told you is kind of the way I also look at it. Is that don't do it just because I said so in conduct. You love them. You're lovingly going to show them and be an example of Christ's love. Don't just do it grumpily. Do it in love is what he's telling him now. So We see that, I see this also, how important it is in 1 Corinthians 13:13, which we're saying the chapter on love. In 13, but now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. So again, Paul's keeping the consistent message to Timothy here. In your ministry here with these guys, love them. Sacrificially love them. The agape love. You want to punch them? You want to get back at them? You want to, you know, tell them to, you know, be quiet, you old guys? Love them. You love them. You're there to give God's direction and word. That's what you're there for. Love them sacrificially. Don't repay evil for evil. It's all trickling down in these 5 points that Paul's giving to them. So, any other thoughts? We'll move on.
I've told this story before about Tom Mallinson. Came up to me one day and he said, "Mike, I'm working up forgiveness for you." Now think about what he's saying to me. I did something to offend him, and he's already working on the forgiveness part.
Yeah.
I said, "Tom, what did I do?" And he told me, and I said, "Oh," and I had no idea.
Yeah.
But he was so loving that he said to me, "I'm working up forgiveness."
Skipped over all the other stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. Forget all the intermediate stuff. Let's get to forgiveness first. That's the way to do it. Yeah. Bag all the mean steps and all the things that, working on forgiveness.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great one. So the fourth one.
In spirit.
So this is kind of a different one in the different translations. The word in spirit in the King James are not in the best Greek text, so it's not in spirit. It's more faith is the word, and I think that's what the NASB has, is in faith. Mm-hmm. So it's not the New King James has it in spirit, but it really the Greek word translates into faith. It's pistia. So faith, he's displayed dependence on God in his word and his word in an extraordinary way. So again, the progression, you have the word, you have the conduct, you have love, and now you do it. Why? Because you believe what Paul has taught him. He's now lived these words that I've given to you. Believe them in faith. So, he is to display dependence on God and his word in an extraordinary way. The Greek word is pistei, P-I-S-T-E-I, to win over, persuade. Faith, subjectively, meaning firm persuasion, conviction, belief in the truth, veracity, reality, or faithfulness, though rare. Objectively, meaning that which is believed, doctrine, the received articles of faith. So again, this is to be an example, to conduct yourself. This is, again, to see a sermon rather than hear one. This is believe in the doctrine. Believe in what Paul has taught him. Believe it. Trust in it. Even though your fleshly body probably wants to, you know, respond in a way. Because remember, this had to be Timothy telling Paul this, because he's responding to it. So Timothy's feeling it. He's feeling the pressure of this. So he tells Paul in a letter that we don't have, or in conversation, or with people traveling back and forth between him and Paul, have said these things. So now Paul's responding. So Timothy's feeling it. So now he's giving him this instruction. How do I deal with this? And now he's telling him these 5 points. In your words, in your conduct, in love. Do it in love. And now believe it. Believe it. Believe this is who you are in Christ. By faith, trust. Trust that what I'm telling you is true. What God, you know, what the Lord has given to Paul and what Paul is relaying on to him. Believe it. Believe me. Don't doubt it. By faith. So, again, this is the key. We should remember that these qualities are expected of all believers and not just leaders. You know, sometimes we take this as Timothy is the leader of the church at Ephesus. Well, does that, well, that didn't apply to me. I'm just an average Joe. No, this is to believers. This is a pattern by which we are to follow also. It's not just Timothy. So again, And I also think about this too. Is this only for people slighting you on your age? Is it just because if somebody, like, you know, I told you when I was a young engineer, I always looked up to these, you know, gray-haired engineers because they had so much experience and everything. I thought I felt like they were looking down on the youth. And is it only in that respect, in age, that we're supposed to take these? No, it's when people, in any case, this is a good pattern for anything dealing in the Christian life. Any of this pattern can follow in anything that you get challenged in your Christian life. So it's not just for Timothy as the head of the leader in the Ephesus church. This is for us as believers too, which, you know, I want to make that clear. This isn't just for leaders. It's for each one of us as believers. So what is the fifth one? This one's an interesting one. The last. So what's the last one?
Purity.
Purity, yeah.
Purity. So what does that mean? So think of this progression. This is kind of an interesting, you know, you have word, conduct, love, and faith, and now impurity. So what does that mean?
Holiness.
Okay, holiness.
Godliness.
Godliness. Okay. Those all kind of fit with, you know, the conduct and the love and all those. Purity is kind of, when you look at the word, it's a weird one, you know. But
I think in the culture, that immorality was a big issue. And especially if you were coming out of idol worship.
Yeah.
And you know, the temple had ways of raising money that were sinful, let's put it nicely. And so, yeah, morality is really an important part of the equation.
So, yeah, and that's where, when you look at the word, it's weird. It's not like holiness, you know, that kind of stuff. It is more kind of purity and, like, morality, which is kind of weird, you know, and it didn't kind of fit. But then culturally, you know, how do you relate to women in the church? How do you lay, I mean, you don't want to be, you know, maybe there were some, you know, I'm just speculating, some of these old guys, maybe their wives or something, or, you know, anything could be dealing with the women or anything, because the word is hagnia, hagnia. It means pure from defilement and not contaminated. Purity, referring to chastity, used only in 1 Timothy 4:12 and 5:2. In the latter reference, it refers to one's moral attitude toward younger sisters in Christ and denotes the chastity which shuts out in any impurity or spirit or manner that might defile. So it's weird. It's not, you know, originally thinking purity like pure word and deed, but it's really relating to how you relate within the church and with other believers, in particular being Timothy a male, how he dealt with some of the women. And maybe they were squawking at him, you know, about how young he was, or we don't trust you, or something like that. So I think this is even kind of another word to him, just how to handle it with the women in here, and don't be challenged on any way how you're dealing with the women, which is kind of an interesting, you know, when I first think that, I was thinking purity and all that, you know, purity of word, purity in heart, purity, but it really was how to deal with kind of the women in the body, it sounds like.
I think that one of the things that always struck me about Romans 1 is that when man turns away from God, the very first thing he does is dishonor his body, and he goes into all kinds of immorality. And so it's from Romans 1, you get the idea that this is really strong in the sin nature. Mm-hmm. And even in new believers in a church like that, you know, or any place, you're a young man and, you know, don't have a wandering eye. Mm-hmm. You know, you should demonstrate that the life of the Lord Jesus is such that you love these people in a manner that has nothing to do with sexual immorality.
Yeah.
And I think in that culture, and it's true in our culture,
yeah,
that you, you know, it's cool actually for a man to grow spiritually to the point where he stops looking at women from a personal aggrandizement and just loves them for who they are. There's no sex involved at all.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things, too, and Edgar will attest to this, in business and all that, and elder and all this, never be alone with a woman anywhere.
Right.
You know, in a room or in anything or counseling or, you know, business meetings. I would never go to a business meeting just with a woman. And I never wanted to be accused, never want anything about that. So I was very, very...
You should have been in my business, taking the guy's wife out to show houses, and he didn't go.
See, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't.
You know what
that.
I did? I had the Bible between her and me.
but that's one of those things where I just didn't do it. I mean, there are salespeople or, people, software sales, asking, let's just go out to lunch. It's like, no, I can't, unless we get Bill and Fred and June or whatever, five people to go. I never get into that situation. Counseling as an elder.
Same thing.
Never in a room, to counsel. You always have either two people or three.
I think Billy Graham Ministries was pretty hard on that point.
Yeah,
they were.
It avoids any kind of problem.
Yeah.
That, because anybody can say anything if it's just two of you there. He said, she said, and it's a horrible thing. So so I think it's kind of the same thing as he's giving a warning here. Mm-hmm. Just don't get into a situation where they can point to you and say there's an issue, because then not only your youthfulness is in question, but your whole ministry starts in question. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of at the end. I think this is just kind of an overall just think about what you're doing. So Paul wants him to exhibit morals. Timothy's purity would have a primary reference to the way he relates to the female portion of the church in which he ministers. The word purity denotes sexual morality. So again, it's don't be in a room with a woman alone. Don't ever have anybody challenge you because of, they said something or she said something, falsely accusing you or whatever. Just don't get into that situation. So again, they kind of the end dot on all of his advice to him is be smart about how you deal with women in the church, and you as a young man, especially a young man, maybe is more wandering eye or that kind of stuff. Don't even be challenged by that. So, any other thoughts on that? It's kind of an interesting ending. I thought it was more going to be purity and word and holiness and all that, but it isn't. So. At least by the Greek. So, question five. What do the words "until I come" point to? So, in here's where I had 12 and 13. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself to be an example of those who believe. Now, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. So what is Paul saying to Timothy here? Until I come. What is it saying?
Well, he's on his way.
He's on his way.
Yeah.
So you're getting slammed for your youthfulness, and here's the guidance, but guess what? I'm coming. Yeah. I'm going to help you out. Yeah. This is kind of, I give you this advice, follow it, but I'm going to come and help you. I'm going to come and reinforce these things. So, kind of some questions on this one. So what is the lesson from these verses for us? I guess the question I had was, since Paul isn't coming to Holly Hills, should we ignore Paul's advice?
Yeah, he's already here.
He's here. He's here in word.
Yeah.
And we have the completed work. So it was kind of a thing, until I come, that's Paul coming to help in Timothy. So what does it mean for us? We're to take this advice now. He's come, he's given us his word. So I just thought it was kind of an interesting prescription. I said, this is a prescription, therefore, for local church life. So he's given us guidance on the local church. Not only leaders, because leaders should exhibit this, because he's telling it to Timothy, but as believers, we should do that too. The same pattern, the same advice is to us. If somebody slanders you or whatever, Do you respond in anger? How do you do it? In word, conduct, all these things. It applies to you too, as a local, as a believer within the body. It also believe to the leaders of the local body.
Paul said that I may present you a chaste virgin unto Christ.
Yeah, well, I mean, we are. You know, in God's eyes, all he sees is in us is Christ. We're perfect in Christ. That's all he sees. The worldly part and the you know, position and condition, our condition vacillates all over. But how God sees us is in Christ. So now this is talking conditionally how we react with or act within the body now. So it is, you know, this is guidance for us, a conditional truth for us. So, any other thoughts or what are we doing on time? Is that it?
Got a minute. It's 46.
All right. Let's see if I can get at least started on this one. In addition to the points recommended in verse 12, what was Timothy to give attention to? Until I come, give attention to what?
Public reading of scripture.
Yep.
And that's something.
And then what else?
Exhortation.
Yep. And last one?
I've got doctrine, but you have
teaching.
It's teaching.
It's
yeah.
Teaching. So, what does this mean in this verse? So, what is it says attention. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Give attention to. What does that mean? Give attention.
Behold.
Behold. Okay.
That's what you focus on.
Yeah. So, attention. Give attention to this. Mm-hmm. So, is that like I'm listening to, you know, as I walk, I kind of listen to it and kind of watch the world, and I'm watching the news while I'm listening to a message. This is more than just I'm going to think about it kind of as it going. This is like lightning focus. You too pay attention with laser focus onto these things, these three things he's going to tell you. It's not just a mere kind of passing or casual listening to. This is attention to, and the Greek word is prosekio, and it means from zodiacs. The word for attention is in the present tense, active voice, and imperative mood. In other words, we are to actively and continuously give attention to the three areas Paul's instructed Timothy. So it's we're continually supposed to do these, and we're supposed to do it actively, and it's a command for us to pay attention. Yeah.
Yes, I think the until I come part, you know, it's the verse before is don't let anybody look down on you for youthfulness, but don't wait for me.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing. It's almost kind of parallel to, you know, the Lord's return.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
like, well, we could wait for the master to come back and teach perfectly.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Don't wait. It says, until I come, do this.
Yeah.
But keep doing it. Don't wait like, oh, I'm going to wait till Paul so he can really wrap these old guys.
Right.
You know, that's a good point. Yeah, until I come. Don't do it now. And that's, again, kind of folding into the Greek part of it.
Yeah.
It's content present.
Yeah.
Continually do it now. Don't wait. It's not a waiting thing. It's actually do it now. And the other is a command. Do it. Don't just think about it. It's my five frogs on a log thing. Anyway.
Which is five frogs on a log?
My kids hate me. Nick's already probably cringing in the back.
Say it anyway. I use that example all the time. So
really?
Please.
I use it all the time, and it's very apropos. Five frogs on a log. Three decide to jump off. How many frogs are on the log?
Five. What's that now?
So five frogs on a log, three decide to jump off. How many are on the log?
Two.
No. Deciding to jump and jumping are two different things. I can decide all day long to jump. But unless you jump, you're still on the log.
Okay, you got it.
Nick is now erasing this part of the message. All All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you again just for your word and the instruction you give to us. And if we follow it, there is order and peace and rest. And you've given these as commands to us. And we just pray for just following these words of wisdom that you gave to, that Paul gave to Timothy in our own lives. And we just realize as we do, we will have peace, rest, and comfort. So we just thank you again for these words. We pray for Brian as he gives us the word in the next meeting and just prepare hearts to receive it. And we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.